Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw preview episode 4. Something that we would have been pretty disappointed if we weren't hanging out tonight, Richie. The ACC Championship. Been a long time. I've told this story a lot of times, but I went to the ACC Championship in 2014. Loved Charlotte, loved the city, and told my wife we would go back every year that it happened. And we haven't been back since. So it's nice to be back in our rightful home, the ACC Championship. We'll talk about all that in just a minute. Richie, how's your week been, man? I still feel good after that win against UF. Like, I'm not over that yet, just for what it's worth.
Yeah. And for me, this might sound weird. It's not so much the win over UF, which, you know, definitely plays a huge role of it, but it was really today at lunch. And I'm just thinking about the season and just realizing, man, we went 12-0 and, you know, I think we said it was the sixth time in school history on our Sunday show, TJ. It's actually the fourth time. There were a couple other undefeated seasons with less than 12 wins.
Some 11-0s, yeah.
But, man, it's just so cool to think about, especially heading into the season. And we both picked us to have really good seasons at 11-1. But 10-2, 9-3, I don't think would have shocked us. I think I would have been more surprised with 12-0 than 10-2 heading into the season. And it just hit me, man. As a Florida State fan, just enjoy the ride right now. Don't get caught up in all the talking heads, which we're going to get you guys riled up on here shortly. But man, it's just such a cool feeling to see your team go 12-0 in the regular season, despite all the injuries, the Jordan flu game, everything that came along with it. It was a, you know, this team, you know, Mike Norvell says it as people think of it as a cliche almost. When he says the response, you guys responded, they really did all season long. And, you know, I was just reminiscing about the whole season game by game. And, you know, there are only a few really tight games where you were thinking, oh man, this could be it. But most of the season, you know, even if the games, the final score was close, you felt like, man, I never felt like we were going to lose that game. And in previous years, you know, I think back to even 2013, that Boston College game, I thought that, oh man, this is a Jimbo special. We're going to lose this game. I've never really felt that way about any game this year. So just enjoy where we're at in the moment. We're going to talk plenty about Charlotte, Louisville, the playoff, all that good stuff coming up. But just take a few seconds, every Florida State fan. Enjoy the season we've had because it's been amazing.
Yeah. We'll do official picks and all of that fun stuff later. And I'm going to pick FSU in this game. So this is not like me already conceding or anything stupid like that. But honestly, at 12-0, it's hard to be upset with anything that happens from here on out. You know, like I think that what Florida State has done, considering the year they've had, this has been really, really special. I'd like to win three more, but, you know, it's hard to get upset with, no matter what happens the rest of the way out, you know, what the Noles have done this year has been pretty remarkable. So, all right, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their Tallahassee locations, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, and then there's one over there on Appalachia as well on the northeast side of town. Again, just don't know that address yet, so you're going to have to forgive me on that. But Guthrie's will be out of the tailgate. We look forward to that. Hopefully you're coming to Charlotte. It's 2870 Appalachian Parkway over there on the east side of town. They will be out of the tailgate. Shout out my guy, Doug Rohan. Rohan Law sponsored us last year on our preview shows. Pulling a little hero, grabbing the Guthrie's for us from their store up there, somewhat close to Charlotte, and bringing it through. So hopefully you're coming to the tailgate. Your tickets you can get in the description. The link is there. It's FSUACC23.eventbrite.com. So come hang out with us at the tailgate this weekend if you haven't already gotten your tickets. Richie, let's get into it a little bit. We'll start with this college football playoff rankings. We'll talk about Louisville here in a moment. But Florida State back into the top four. Not super surprising. The College Football Playoff Committee this year has been pretty consistent. There have been no one-loss teams ranked ahead of undefeated teams. When there were six undefeated teams, there were six teams one through. Well, no, there were never. It was one through five. There were always one through five. There were never six undefeateds. When there were And now that there are four undefeateds, they've got the four undefeateds, one through four. I don't know how much you really care to argue. Should Florida State be two, three, four, whatever. I don't know. But back in the top four, not super unsurprising. UGA, Michigan, Washington, then FSU. Oregon right behind, OSU, Texas, Bama behind there. Here's a good one. Do you think every team in the top eight could still make the playoff?
I do. I think there's a scenario where you could make an argument for any of them. I think the toughest argument is Ohio State, because I think they're the only one that will not be playing for a conference championship, unless I'm mistaken.
They need the most chaos to make.
Yeah, yeah. So Ohio State, they're probably why Kirk went off the rails today, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, Oregon, if they win, I think they're in. Ohio State, they don't play. They're sitting at home. They have no chance. Texas and Bama certainly have a chance in the top four. Is this the first year where anyone in the top eight heading into championship week could either play their way in or even play their way out? Because typically the number one seed, if you're undefeated playing in your conference championship game, you're safe. It's just playing for seeding now. There's a scenario where Georgia could get left out, TJ.
Yeah, so I did a video on that this morning, just kind of my thoughts on what would be best for FSU. And I don't know, Richie, I don't see a scenario where they leave the SEC out. Like, a lot of people say that, like, oh, if Alabama wins and all these other teams ahead of them win, Texas won the head-to-head, so Alabama, like, I'm worried about them leaving the SEC out. Now, I think they should, but I just don't know that I believe that that happens. Now, you could roll some dice and cheer for Alabama to win and see if they maybe leave them both out. That'd be phenomenal. We would all love it. I would love for the SEC to get left out in this Final Four team year. But I don't know if those are dice that I want to throw. Just give me Georgia winning the game so that I know that Bama's gone. Just honestly, Richie, at the top, I mean, I'd take an Iowa win, but just give me chalk at the top. Like, I'm good with just give me the four that are there. Guarantee me a spot in. You don't have to get all crazy with upsets or anything else. That also means that Florida State stays regional. That means we would go to New Orleans and not Pasadena. I know people are scared of Georgia, this, that, and the other. Just give me chalk one through four and let me stay close to home. Is that a hot take? Before I get your answer, Michael Harris, looking forward to seeing our guys bring home the trophy back to Tallahassee. Appreciate the love on Venmo, Michael. Harlan Playman. Noise and then all of
fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
Yeah, I think the easiest scenario that the committee, if they just want to avoid all controversy together, is having four Power Five unbeaten conference champions. Like, that's simple at that point. And there's a decent chance that happens, although Washington's about a 9.5-10 point dog to Oregon, and I do think Oregon wins that game, but which makes things very interesting. But I tweeted out yesterday, and I thought one thing that was very helpful and almost a little surprising is Louisville only dropping to 14 in the college football playoff rankings. I thought that helped Florida State a lot, because if they had dropped 16, 17, 18, then it's like, okay, they might be out of the top 25 if you beat them. But going from 14 with so many teams playing up behind them not playing, they're still going to be top 20. And at that point, Florida State has a resume with three top 25 wins against the college football playoff ranked teams, and not a single one of them was at Doak Campbell Stadium. That has to hold some weight. And we'll get the official, very vague, I think intentionally, college football playoff ranking criteria in a little bit, but I think that will hold enough weight. But, Herb Street made a good point. Even though he's been trying his best to convince the world Florida State doesn't belong. But Oregon and Washington, they're going to take care of themselves. Washington, with one loss, will not be in over Florida State undefeated. So now you're talking about, potentially multiple one-loss teams jumping Florida State. I don't think the committee lets that happen. But my goodness, if you watch ESPN, you think that's a sure thing right now.
Yeah, I worry about it a little bit. The biggest scenario to me, and I agree, I think that the Pac-12 takes care of itself. Either Washington, and I'd rather Washington win, because if they were to be in the playoff, I'd rather play Washington than Oregon, just for what it's worth. But I'd rather Washington win. But I'd say a small part of me is worried about Washington losing a close game to Oregon and them thinking, Because last year, TCU lost a close game in their Big 12 championship. And I know different scenarios, but they left that team in. They basically said, we don't want to penalize a team for making their conference championship. Now, they would never say that about FSU, but if Washington was to lose to Oregon, that worries me a little bit. But what worries me about the SEC thing, Richie, is if Bama beats Georgia and you put them in.
That's doomsday.
Do you have to put Texas in too because of the head-to-head? Now, I think what helps FSU is what you were alluding to. The fact that Louisville is 14 and Texas's opponent is 18. So unless Texas wins by 40 and Florida State wins by one on a fluky last-second play or whatever, Florida State's win is going to be better by at least four spots, right? Like, if Louisville had, like, fallen down to 20 and Oklahoma State was, like, 10, that'd be trouble. Like, it just would. They're looking for any reason they can to kick us out. That's why I'm okay with there just being chalk at the top. Also, if the playoffs in New Orleans, I don't care how many Georgia's favored by, I'm going to that game. And I'm going to go see that. And we might be doing some big things in New Orleans. So, like, I don't want to go to pass. Like, okay, here's a good one. Would you rather play, like, Oregon on the West Coast? Oregon or Michigan on the West Coast or Georgia, like, closer to here?
Pasadena.
You'd rather go to Pasadena?
Pasadena. And I would prefer Oregon.
Would you go, though? Or are you just, you're just watching?
I'm likely would not go to either.
Okay, so if you were going.
All eyes on Houston right now.
Okay.
So I'm not going to either, but I think, you know, Florida State, of all the contenders right now, it's probably the least likely to win the national title because of Jordan Travis, right? And that's fair, and that's a fact. But that doesn't change what happened the previous, since September. None of that has changed. But how poetic would it be if you get matched up with Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and they're a 9-point favorite, and you knock them off, and now you have a chance to win a national title? After all these talking heads have said all they want about Florida State. Again, Florida State's chances of winning a national title, very, very low, guys. But I do want to get to the playoff. But say a Cinderella story happens. You go to Pasadena, you knock off Oregon, avenge that 2014 loss, which I still call fluky. People are like, look at that final score. That's not a fluke. No, Dalvin doesn't fumble. You know, Jameis gets in on the goal line. You know, Jalen doesn't drop a sure pick six. That's a game. That really is. And then give me Georgia and Houston. And who knows what happens in a one-off scenario. You might win one out of every 15 games in that scenario. But if you find the one, man, I would love to see Mike Norvell just go up to Kirk Herbstreit, shake his hand, and say, hey, appreciate you, man.
So, speaking of Kirk, maybe that's a good time to talk about this. Are we doing that later? Is that later in the show?
We'll do it now. This is our playoff talk.
All right. There's language.
A guy who calls these games, I don't want to do the right thing. If you talk to Bill Hancock, and we had lots of meetings about this, they're not supposed to do the right thing. They're supposed to, their job is put the best four teams in the playoff. Now, again, it's subjective. Who you think and I think are the best four are different, and that's fine. But that's what that group is supposed to do. Not what do we think about ratings? That's bullshit.
All right, I tried to cut it off there before Kirk went to
So some quick context to that clip. That's from Pardon My Take, number one sports podcast in the world. But one of the co-hosts, Big Cat, basically was saying that if Florida State wins this weekend, the committee has no choice but to do the right thing and put Florida State in the playoff. And you just heard Kirk say, I don't care about the right thing. I want who I think, because I'm calling the games, that's who I want to be in, the four teams I want, not the teams. Basically, he said, damn with the games on the field that got played. They don't matter. So, TJ, should we get rid of the terms wins and losses in college football and just call them, you know, performance evaluations or auditions? Because that's what Kirk Herbstreit was saying right there.
Well, to me, what's tough is where do you draw that line? Like, Alabama could have lost. Like, I mean, I don't know if you watched it closely. I had it on. You know,
I'm a Bama fan. We watched it closely.
Yeah. I flex the back patio setup with the three TVs a lot, and I think I spent two Saturdays this year out there watching. So, it sucked. But I digress. That was one that I watched. That was one that was like on the 3 TV setup, and I watched the entire thing. Alabama could have lost that game. And what if they go in and beat Georgia by 30 and they're sitting at 11-2? I'm sorry, 10-2. And they, no, I'm sorry. That'd be 11-2. Yeah. I was right. And they have a 30-point win against Georgia. And we know that Alabama's a better team right now than they were earlier in the year. Do we just put them in? Like, where's the line at? And that's why the results on the field have to matter. If Florida State and Alabama had the same record, then I think you could say, yeah, that's fine. Alabama's better. And they, you know, the tiebreaker is how you look. But winning games has to matter. And it always has mattered. Again, Alabama could have lost two games this year early in the year when they weren't playing well and they were about to bench Milroe and they stunk against USF.
They did bench him.
When all that stuff was happening, and Alabama would still be just as good as they are today. They would still have the quality wins against Ole Miss and LSU and beat Auburn in the last minutes. And then if they beat Georgia, why not put them in at 11-2? Why not? Shoot, I think LSU would be favored against Washington if they got put up head-to-head. But LSU has three losses. They don't deserve to be in. Like, your results on the field at the end of the day have to matter. Alabama could have started the year 0-3, and they still probably are one of the – like, they would be favored over, like, the rest of college football minus, like, two or three teams. And so, like, where is that line? Where's that cut? Well, there is none. You give it to the teams that are undefeated always. And so it's just asinine to me to even try and make that argument. I also want to look at, I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I tweeted something today, and I want to read some score lines that we've had over the last few years. I don't know if you saw this or not, but have a quick thought. I'm going to look this up, and then we can react to this too.
I can tell the average of the playoff game has been a 19-point difference.
Yeah. Here's the actual numbers. Yeah. So in 2014, and I know this snowballed, but here it goes. One of them was us. There was a 39-point win and a 22-point win. In 2015, there was a 20 and a 38. 16 was 17 and 31. 17 was 18 points. 2018 was 27 and 28. 2019 was a 35-point win. 2020, we didn't have a close game through the entire playoff. 17 points, 21 points, and 26 points. 2021, same thing. 21 points, 23 points, and 15 points in the championship. And then last year, in our national championship, it was the most boring. Richie, we watch and obsess and make videos and talk and call each other and text all day, every day, for 365 days a year about college football, and we had to watch a 65-7 blowout, a 58-point national championship romp, and this fool wants to tell me, oh, we shouldn't do the right thing. Like, where was he last year when TCU literally lost their conference championship? Why was he not beating his chest on ESPN and crying his sorry little Buckeye eyes out about the, oh, don't do what's right. Don't do this, that, and the other. So, I don't know. You're getting me hot. And
let's get to Jasper, and then I'll give my take here.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
I'd rather meet UGA first because I'd rather not meet them after they've had a month to prepare for us. Man, they're going to have a month either way, I guess. But I kind of feel you there. Yeah, just give me UGA first. You know, pull the upset. Let them take us lightly. Well, let's just go beat them.
Yeah.
Like, no big deal. Jasper, I appreciate the love, my man.
Do we have the graphic of the criteria? Because it goes to the point you just said. If we can throw that up there. If not, I can just read it from my phone right now because I think this is important. So we were just talking about Alabama versus Florida State, right? The selection committee ranks the teams based on the members' evaluations of the team performance based on the field, Kirk Herbstreit, on the field, using conference championships won. Florida State wins Saturday. They got that. Strength of schedule, Florida State. They have that. Head-to-head results, Florida State would have that because they don't have any head-to-head results against those with them. But, oh, by the way, Texas beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa by 2 touchdowns. And here's the big one when it comes to Florida State versus Alabama. Comparison of results against common opponents. Florida State beat LSU 45-24, 45-17 before garbage time away from Dope Campbell Stadium. Alabama beat LSU by 14 at home when Jaden Daniels exited the game
out, yeah,
in the fourth quarter with 13 minutes left.
And throw that back up real quick, Harlan. So those are the criteria for like ranking teams, like the actual metrics that they look at, right? Those are the metrics that they look at. Tyler, I'm a Liberty alum too, so shout out to you. thank you for being subscribed here as well. So those are the metrics. And then what I believe it goes on to say further is that if all of these are the same or none of these apply, then you kind of move to things like, now this is layman's terms, this is much better written than I can do it, but then I think that's when you move into eye test and resume and all these other things that are like ancillary. Like if both teams win their conference championship, then I think that you value that equally. If the teams don't have a head-to-head, then I think you value that equally. If the strength of schedule is 7 and 8, I think you value that equally. Common comparison results. If us and Alabama had both beaten LSU by the same score, I think you value that equally. But then if you have results on the field being the number one and we have more wins than they do, then that is just automatically what it is at the end of the day. And I don't know why Kirk Herbstreit has his head so far up as you know what to think that you would think anything but that. I get it. I understand that people think this team has no chance without Jordan Travis. And I don't think they looked great in the first half this weekend against Florida. But ultimately, they covered the spread, and no one else did that against other bad teams. Like, Washington State's not a good team. Auburn's not a good team. And so these
Georgia
other...
Georgia Tech's not a good team.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. And so... I don't know, man. There's a lot that we can say about this.
Quick question. If the North Alabama and LSU games were flipped on Florida State's roster, right? We blew North Alabama out regardless, right? But say we 2 weeks ago with a healthy Jordan Travis beat 8-2 top 10-ish LSU 45-24, 45-17 before garbage time, that game holds a lot more weight. And that's not how this should work. Every game from week 1 to week 12 in conference championship week should count the same. I know teams evolve as the season goes, but when you're comparing a one-loss team to an undefeated team, the resume matters, and you can't just dismiss the first week because, oh, that's week 1, they're different teams now. Get the hell out of here. No, there's no argument that makes logical sense to me, and you've never heard the committee come on and say, we're looking for the four best teams. They always talk about resume. When Florida State in 2014 has had game control, which we've never heard about again until like 2 weeks ago when they were talking about Florida State. It's just, you need a clear criteria. You know, in the NFL, you could be week 16 and you're the, you know, Washington Commanders and you're like, okay, we know if we win these next weeks, we're in. If we lose one of them, we're out. On the field is what should decide things. And when Kirk Herbstreit talks about Jordan Travis's injury, which he's loved to talk about a lot the last week, I find it very not genuine because the North Alabama game, I watched College Game Day at my Airbnb in Tallahassee, TJ. And before Jordan Travis was hurt on game day that morning, Kirk Herbstreit was lobbying for multiple one-loss teams in any scenario to get in over undefeated Florida State with Jordan Travis. Now Kirk wants to bring up a hurt Jordan Travis. Well, you were feeling the same way before he got hurt. So don't try and act like that's your reasoning now. That is ridiculous. And I do think, you know, people are like, there was a debate, I don't know if you noticed on FSU Twitter this week. Is there a conspiracy against ESPN versus Florida State? No, I don't think so. Because I think ESPN understands Florida State gives them big rankings. But I do think there is a conspiracy to get an SEC team in, like in Alabama, if they do upset Georgia over Florida State, because one of ESPN's biggest financial investments they have currently is their TV rights contract with the SEC. That matters a lot. And I think Kirk, and not to get political, you know, higher ups in the politics, they go and find the people in the media that like their talking points, and they say, hey, this is the message you need to send to the people. And I think that's exactly what ESPN is doing right now. And again, I don't think it's an anti-Florida State thing. I think it's a pro-SEC thing. And I hope the committee, I think with Florida State being number 4 this week, I don't think you can look at Oregon and say that win over number 4 Washington is enough to boost them over an undefeated Florida State with a win over number 14 Louisville.
Yeah. And it, I mean, Yeah, I mostly agree with that. I mean, at least that last point. I agree with all you're saying on the other stuff, like kind of just being a talking head and having to, you know, him crying crocodile tears and all this other stuff on the TV. I could see a scenario where if Oregon looked really good against Washington and beat them pretty handily, and we only beat, you know.
But the games have to matter, TJ.
Not being left out. I could see us. I'm just saying I could see them us being ranked lower. I could see Oregon jumping up to third.
I wouldn't be mad about that if we're in.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's all I was gonna. I could see a situation where Oregon beat the hell out of Washington and we just barely scrape by Louisville, and they say, "You're in." But like 2014, we're gonna.
I would disagree with it, but I do think TJ.
I think that's wrong. But I want to go to New Orleans.
I think a large part of that. I think they would do that for sure. Because you got to have the Pac-12 and the Big Ten in the Rose Bowl. Like, I just think that makes more sense.
That'd be fine.
And then you have the ACC and SEC and the Sugar Bowl. That part makes sense. And I get it. If you're tweaking whatever, I still think Florida State should be ahead of Washington based on resume, even if they beat Oregon. And they should be ahead of Oregon if they have the better record. I just think that. But I do think they want to try and regionalize these games. Although I do think a Florida State Georgia would national championship, if it were to happen, would pull much better rankings than Georgia versus either Washington or Oregon.
Yeah. So, all right, we're all heated about this now. Let's take a quick.
We spent too much time on this.
No, we're fine. We got all that. I got to tell you. So, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. Also, Garnet and Gold. You can use the code No Slaw as well as. Gramco, thegramco.com. You can use TJ25. Do you want Oregon or Washington to win? I think I want Washington. I'd rather just a little easier matchup if that happened to be our national championship team that we played. Do you have a strong preference there?
Yeah, I think Oregon's a problem. Yeah. I really do.
I'd prefer to see Washington. Like, I don't think they win, but I'd prefer to see.
I think you have a better chance of beating the combo of Georgia and Washington than Georgia and Oregon, because those games are going to be, 10, 11 days apart. That's tough, man. But, man, Daryl Jackson, he will be playing for Florida State if we are in the playoffs. That is a huge deal on the defensive line for Florida State. I don't think we beat Georgia, but if the stars aligned and we did beat them, and then we get Washington, I mean, I might be, you know, renting out a nightclub in Houston for the after party, because I think we beat Washington if that's the case. But how fun is this? Just
I don't
to talk
hate Michigan
about,
either.
Yeah, last year we were talking about, like, oh man, the Cheez-It Bowl. We're so excited if we can get an invite there. Now we're talking about potentially going to Houston for a national title.
Yeah. Can't complain too much about that. So I prefer Oklahoma State one. I'm sure you're the same way there. Just get Texas out of there. I mean, I'm fine with UGA going ahead and just winning that game.
Yeah, I prefer that.
If Bama upset them, I wouldn't really be upset about it by any means. But, especially if like Texas had already won. Michigan, Iowa, zero chance of this, but I mean, I'd be fine with Iowa winning.
Michigan's out, by the way, if that happens.
Oh, for sure. But then I think Ohio State would probably just slide in. So
I don't know.
And then, well, depending on if Texas had won or like who went. It'd take a lot of chaos. But and then obviously Florida State over Louisville. And the one you didn't mention, Liberty. I need Liberty to win on Friday night too. So ACC championship game, only one that could be impacted by weather, of course. You know, Charlotte continues to be the home, because I believe it's like 16 of like 20, you know, national championships in the ACC are all housed in North Carolina. We don't go anywhere else unless it's the ones that do get to move around on a yearly basis, like softball and some other ones. But, unfortunate that, you know, we have to be impacted by weather poorly in Charlotte. I don't know. I want to crap on this conference more, but also I'm fine just with whatever.
I do think the conference championship game should be in a dome. I don't think championship games should be affected by weather. And, you know, old school football mentality is like, no, we want the snow and everything.
I don't.
No, I don't either. And, but where else would you have it? Like, I personally think, and this is going to sound like, you know, Florida State bias, you know, Jacksonville, Orlando, Miami, or Tampa seem like safe options. Atlanta, I would love, and people hate this because it'd be a short week, But I have no problem with the ACC championship game being in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome or Mercedes-Benz Dome on Friday night, with the SEC championship being Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you can go to New Orleans because that's you're fully outside of the ACC footprint at that point. Although with SMU joining, there's an argument for it. And that's... I think they'll be solid. But there's nowhere else in the Southeast that you could really host it.
Yeah, I don't know that they would ever, you know, I don't think they'll ever do the Friday night thing.
No.
Because
and the coaches would be vehemently against it.
Yeah, I think we would be against it too.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to play Florida, and then if we had a cupcake, if we were Georgia and got to play Georgia Tech every year, like, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
Having to play Florida, no chance. That they would want to play a short week after that physical rivalry game, and, you know, having to clean all the spit off themselves and everything else after playing the Gators. Florida State and Louisville, it's a 2.5-point spread. Does that surprise you a little bit that it's only 2.5? Because I was thinking, because I usually don't think one player is worth this many points, but, like, I was seeing it up around, like, 11-ish before Jordan got hurt. And so, like, I don't know. I think 2.5, I mean, it did open up a little bit bigger, like 3.5 or 4, and it's gotten bet down a little bit. I like it at 2.5, by the way. Like that, I hope it stays under that. I'm not a big bet early in the week guy. I'm a bet on game day, just because I don't want to lock in a bet before an injury or something, you know, a suspension or something could get announced. So I hope it stays at 2.5. I'll buy it down if it doesn't. But does the spread surprise you a little bit, Richie?
Yeah, I think I actually saw it open originally at 11, or not 11, at 5. I think 11 with, like, the very early, once both teams had clinched. But I think I saw it open at 5, and I saw the line moving down. And I'm not going to lie, TJ, I got, like, 2016 PTSD when Florida State opened as a favorite. Yeah. It slowly worked its way down. The morning of the game, Florida State was favored by, like, 1.5. And by kickoff at noon, Louisville was favored. And I just... we all know what happened. I'm not going to recap that game, but yeah, I don't know. I think people are undervaluing UF and the Swamp at night because of how bad UF was this year. A rivalry game at Ben Stadium, you know, at night when those fans have had all day to lube up, a day after Thanksgiving or 2 days after Thanksgiving when they don't have to work, that most of them don't have jobs anyway. Yeah, that was a hellish environment for Tate to make his first real start in. I don't count the COVID year start that Tate had as in. That was Tate's first start. I think this is going to be a 75-25 Florida State crowd. You know, we have not been there in, you know, 9 years. This is going to be a fun game, and I'm excited we're both going to be there. But yeah, 2.5. I definitely lean towards Florida State, but I definitely feel Louisville is more than capable of winning this game. You know, if we play our Boston College game, we're losing. If we play almost any other game, we should find a way to win.
Yeah. Jasper.
You a recruit and you ain't going to Florida State. What you doing?
I can't wait. Going to be going to Atlanta for FSU's SEC championship game. That will be fun when we're not playing. And I don't want to be going to Indy for a championship game. So, yeah, give me the SEC on that one. So, obviously, a loss this weekend to Kentucky. A lot of turnovers. I think they had 3 turnovers in that game plus a turnover on down. So they kind of turned the ball over 4 times. Probably not going to get that lucky. Obviously, if either team wins the turnover battle by 4, they are going to win this weekend. Yeah. But I don't. I feel pretty confident in Florida State not turning the ball over a ton in this game, so that doesn't really worry me. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, the Noles, you know, Max Brown was obviously a freshman playing last week for the Gators, but the Noles dropped a couple of interceptions. I thought Jarden Jones, you know, nearly had one. I think that. Who was it? 38. I thought Shaheem almost had one. So I think that, Florida State's going to try and take care of the ball here. I mean, I think Louisville will too, but they've shown that they're susceptible to potentially turning the ball over. They also lost in the Pitt game. They had some turnovers in that game as well. Lost 38-21. you wrote this, they dominated the box score in both losses, but still just couldn't find a way to get over the top. I've seen some people talk about this. It really wouldn't shock me at all if Louisville, for large parts of this game, played the better game, and then you look up in the fourth quarter, and then Florida State's somehow on top by like six with the ball, and you're like, all right, put it away. But man, what it all comes down to me is how quickly does the offense get going? I've got a lot of confidence in the defense, Richie, and yeah, we've talked all week about how all year really about how great they've been. But to me, man, if the offense can get rolling, if the offense can give you two touchdowns in the first half, I think you win the game. Like that's really my thought. Like if you can get 14 out of the offense in the first half, I feel great because I'm confident that Louisville's not scoring more than like what, maybe 17, maybe 21 in the first half. So if you go down to the half right now, like you go down to the half 14 to 21, I'm confident that you're going plus seven in the second half. Like that's how much confidence I have in the defense. Like they're not giving up more than a field goal or two, a touchdown at most. So I don't know. I feel good about where Florida State's at if the offense can get it rolling a little bit earlier.
You have to avoid the catastrophic play, right? You can't have a punt blocked. You can't give up a punt or kick return for a touchdown. You can't have a pick six. You can't muff a punt inside your own 30-yard line. And Florida State, for the most part, has not done that this year. Granted, a lot of that was with Jordan Travis at quarterback. So, you know, Tate, you know, he's kind of a wild card. He did not turn the ball over against Florida. You know, he did take a bad safety, but I put that just as much on Mike as I do on Tate, because why are you dropping your quarterback back into the end zone when you know Florida likes to bring the pressure? Louisville's going to bring the pressure early and often, and I think Florida State knows that, and I think we're going to have a much better game plan this week because, you know, last week I think, you know, you were still in shell shock if you're Florida State and the staff, you know, Sunday being at the hospital with Jordan, and then going straight to the walkthrough and then going into Monday, you know, how much film study actually got done? I don't know. I think a lot got done this week. You know, I think our recruiting and portal efforts might take a hit this week, but I think we have enough cachet now to not worry about that because all focus needs to be on Louisville because, you know, this is your playoff hopes. You know, we talked early in the year, does a 12-1 Florida State make it in? I think we both thought maybe. I thought they probably would. Ain't happening. Zero chance. And Mike Norvell and this staff knows that. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, Louisville has been very prone to turn the ball over, especially since they beat Notre Dame. They've turned it over a lot. You know, you mentioned the two games they lost. They outgained their opponents by 256 yards total. I don't know. Louisville's a good team, and they're very well coached. They do not have the talent for talent that Florida State has. And I think Mike Norvell's a better coach than Jeff Brohm. I really do. And I'm not saying it's not close, but it's an easy decision for me. If you could tell me I could have Mike Norvell or Jeff Brohm right now, based on what we've seen in these past 3 years, 4 years here, it's going to be a fun game. You know, Jack Plummer comes in and, you know, he followed Jeff Brohm from Purdue. He doesn't scare me. He's not a threat athletically. He's not a dual threat guy by any means. 66 completion percentage on the season, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That's extremely average, you know, basically 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. If Florida State gets pressure on him, watch out. I think where Florida State needs to really look out for is that the running game for Louisville. You know, they have Jawar Jordan, who's been pretty banged up and he's getting healthier, but he's still not 100%. And Isaac Garando, we'll see what happens. If they're both on point, that's trouble for Florida State. But I trust this defensive line, and I trust this linebacker group, man. You know, that was a question mark heading into the season. How good are these linebackers with, you know, Kalen DeLoach and Tatum Bethune? I think they've shown they're more than adequate. They are plenty capable, and I fully expect them to do everything they need to do. Jermaier Thrash is wide receiver one. He's really the only target they go to, but he's also a major home run threat. I like this matchup on Florida State's defense to Louisville's offense. If Florida State's offense can get things going, I think there's a chance we run away with this thing. I don't think we will because I see this being a very close game and predictions coming, but Florida State could blow Louisville out to the tune of 20, 24 points. Louisville's not going to do that to Florida State.
I don't think so. I don't think our defense will allow that. That's where I'm at. You know, I think that – so I watched the X's and Noles breakdown of the game, which was phenomenal today. I shared that on Twitter or X or whatever. If you're watching this and you've got some time to kill, it's kind of long. It's like an hour and 20 minutes or something. So it's not necessarily quick, but I usually watch stuff on like 2x speed because I'm a psycho. You can get through it fairly quickly. They really showed you how close Florida State was to – Tate gets a lot of blame, but man, a lot of it wasn't Tate. A lot of it was, you know, Trey kind of missing holes, offensive line issue here, Keon missed a block. Like Florida State had stuff blocked up pretty well, and Norvell gets a lot of crap. I agree with you on the safety. I don't think the safety was a play. Like they just, I don't know. They caught you in a play that, you know, Florida State was trying a good play on first down. They were trying to kind of take advantage of some stuff and, you know, Florida just caught you on a play that you weren't ready for. But outside of that, I mean, I think Norvell's schemed it up pretty well. And I think that if he can do that again, Florida State was, not to quote Jimbo, but like inches away from doing some good things even in the first half against Florida.
You got to find the crumbs, TJ. You got to find the crumbs and remove the rock from the road.
I think even like, you know, Tate wasn't the issue, a lot of the issue. No. I mean, you know, he had plenty of mistakes, and that's fine. You're going to expect that. But, yeah, I trust the defense to be pretty there, pretty with it. I thought one thing that was cool about the X's and Noles breakdown was they showed a few of Florida's completions that happened early. And, Fuller has this reputation of just, like, playing conservative or like, holding stuff back for the second half. And they kind of disproved that. Like they showed the few completions that Florida had in the first half, and they showed how they were kind of coverage busts and Florida State didn't communicate well. And then they showed it like two or three times in the second half, and it showed that the adjustments was basically Fuller like going to the half and saying, "Hey, do this differently," and they did it differently, and Max Brown couldn't get anything going in the second half. So, I mean, I certainly trust the defense. I certainly trust like us as a second half team. I think it's, you know, I think Louisville will come out and give you a pretty good punch. But I also think that if you get up 10 or 14 points in this thing and that defense can kind of pin their ears back and you can lean on Trey Benson, Trey and that defensive line just get better and better and better and better as the game goes on, and you're going to be in a good spot. Trouble is if you get down 14, 17 points and you got to lean on Tate and he's got to truly lead you back, that's where I think you get in a little bit more trouble. But I do trust the defense to kind of keep that honest and not have that go that way. Listen, I asked you this last week when we were talking about Florida, and this we'll do our pick six before we truly go into like predictions or anything like that. But where do you – like if the defense could hold – Louisville to a number that makes you feel comfortable, what is that number?
24.
Like you're confident we score over 24.
I do. I think that, you know, Louisville, you know, look, the scores they give up are a lot. And the odd thing is Florida State wants to run the ball, but they've been a better passing team. But again, that's with Jordan Travis. And Louisville's been really good against the run. But if Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins get together, which I think they will, they're going to scheme up the screen game. They're going to find, you know, here's the key to the game for me, TJ. Find a way to get the ball into Keon Coleman's hands. It's unacceptable for him to get one touch on offense. And I know they went to him a few other times and he dropped. The pass was high. It should have been a touchdown. Keon never drops those. That was a little shocking. But yeah, I think if Florida gets to 27, I have zero doubt they win this game. I think they could probably win, 21-17 or something like that. But, 24 points, I think Florida State, they're winning the game at that point. Because I do think Louisville could start strong. And if they do, they're going to capitalize. Florida, they could have been up 19-0 at the half last week. They just, couldn't. Handle the moment. They couldn't rise to the occasion. And what else would you expect from Billy Napier versus Mike Norvell? But at the same time, yeah, I think Louisville, I see a hard time getting them more than 23, 24 points. So 27 is what I feel comfortable with saying for sure Florida State wins.
Yeah, I might be a little lower. Like, I'm not confident. I'm not necessarily confident we get to 27, but I think if you can hold them to, I'm similar though. If you can hold them to 20, 21, then I think you win. Because I think you get to 24 for sure. I mean, could Florida State score more than that? Absolutely. But like, if you told me like, hey, pick a number that you're the highest number that you're sure that Florida State wins, I think I'm a little lower. I just need to see it from this offense. So I think I'm closer to 21. I think it'll be low scoring. I mean, weather possibly plays a little bit of an impact. Watch, I'll come out and pick like 42 to 38 or something here in a minute. But yeah, I'll say 21. And so anyway, that's kind of where my thoughts are on it. You into our pick six? Are you talking more about Louisville?
No, I think we're good. It's time to tee it up. Let's go. Let's do this pick six. A lot of these numbers are similar to last week, but you know, we'll see where they go. I definitely overshot Tate last week, so I bumped him down by about 60 yards.
Let me give some love to picks, Prize Picks first.
Yes, for sure.
The Prize Picks app, hopefully you guys are on that already. If you're not, then what have you been waiting for the 12 weeks of Florida State season? But you have a chance because we have at least one game left, maybe three more, but the Prize Picks app, use the code DFNS. You get a 100% match up to $100. Again, DFNS on the Prize Picks app. Pick more or less for these games this weekend. I'm excited to see what the official lines are. Again, go sign up. Link's in the description, or you can just use the code DFNS when you sign up with a new email. All right, what we got, Richie?
All right, so we're changing some of these because I just pulled up the Prize Picks app on my phone. Oh, you see that, TJ?
Four roses?
No, it's a rose. When we were on the field two weeks ago at the North Alabama game, the Rose Bowl rep was there and gave me and my wife some stickers for the phone. So I have that. But there are an actual few lines that are official. So I'm going to go with those ones first. Tate Rodemaker, pass yards, 195.5.
Yeah, I'll go. Man, everything in my heart tells me to say less on this one. I'll say more though. I'll just completely go against my gut. Harlan's got less. I'll go more, but I don't feel great about it. Richie,
I think I'm gonna go more because I think Louisville's rush defense is so good that you're gonna have to take shots downfield. And when we have Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, well, one of them's got to hit.
So he certainly had some success with it. Last year. I also think, okay, let's say this, make me feel a little more confident on it. I think the way that Norvell called the Florida game is going to be drastically different than the way he calls this Louisville game. I think you knew against Florida, they will eventually shoot themselves in the foot and piss down their leg. I think Florida was about just letting time go and letting them screw up. I don't think that's the case with Louisville. I think Louisville, you got to go out and win it. And it might be called a little bit differently this week. So I don't know. That's probably just a load of BS, but yeah, give me the more.
All right, let's go to the backfield on both teams. Whew, it's a big number in my opinion. So I'll just start it and say, I'll take the under. Love the guy. Trey Benson, 93.5 rush yards. I'll say less.
I'll go more. I think you got to win. Yeah, I'm going to go more. I know that's a lot, but you know, last week with three touchdowns, he really didn't have like he wasn't like going off. He had the two long runs. I think he finds the holes a little bit better. I think Florida's defensive line is not great, but they are big, and I think that contributed to a little bit of what kind of clogged up things in the first half. I'll go more here. Harlan's going to go more with me as well. Here I go pick on the more on everybody's, and then I'll take the under on the team total. But yeah, go ahead on the next one.
I'll just say if he's more than 93.5, Florida State wins. Let's go to Louisville. Juwar Jordan, 70.5. TJ Harlan, what do you guys think?
70.5. I know nothing about this kid, so Harlan's going to go more. I will go less here. I think they held a better running back last week in Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson, both of them down. I'll go less. I really like our defensive line. I like the rushing. The secondary is certainly what worries me more. So, yeah, I'll go under here or less. Harlan's got more.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go less here. Just because, like I said, he's a little banged up right now, and they basically split carries. You know, he gets a little more carries than the other guy, but I just think it, in the first half, you're going to be sweating. In the second half, by the fourth quarter, when this defense adjusts, you're going to be like, well, why was I worried?
Let me stat correction real quick. Montrell Johnson did have more than that last week. He had over 100, but it's because that 50-yard run at the end of the half that they didn't score. So, like, empty stats. All right, go ahead.
All right, so let's do I want to hit both Florida State receivers here because these are, again, official Prize Picks lines. Interesting here. Keon Coleman, 47.5 receiving yards.
I'll go more there. I think,
I think more, too.
You've not seen Keon string together back-to-back bad games. And I think Johnny actually goes off for more, so I'm sure that's your next question. But Harlan's got less, but I got more on this. I'll go more on Keon being over that a little bit.
So you said Johnny goes for more. He's actually at 57.5, so 10 yards more than Keon's projection.
Yeah, I'll go more here as well. I think it's kind of a case of like, well, if I just take more on one of them, I'm going to be right on one. But they're not going to be able to guard both guys. And so you'll get some stuff too. Johnny and Keon, I think that familiarity last year with Tate and Johnny is big. I'm actually more confident that Johnny goes for more than I am with Keon. But I think Keon has a nice day too.
Is Jarvis Brownlee still there?
He is. He's on the thumbnail.
Oh, man. All right. Johnny's going more for sure. we saw that last year. We'll finish with the official Vegas more or less total points between the two teams, 48.5. I'm going less.
That's kind of where my gut is at, and kind of everything I've said is going against that when I take the more on everybody's yardage totals. is there a more or less for Plummer, by the way?
Let me pull that up real quick.
But I'll go more. I think it'll be really close to that. I think it's a good line. But I think 27-24 might win it. 31-24 might win it. So, give me slightly more on that.
So this will be our bonus pick since it's the last game until the playoff. Jack Plummer, more or less. I'm going less, guys. 228.5 pass yards.
Yeah, I kind of like the less. I mean, unless they just have a massive one that goes, way downfield for like 70 yards, a busted coverage or something. Yeah, I kind of like him to be less for the duration of the game. Harlan's got less as well. So, yeah, I like less there.
I mean, Florida State has the number one pass defense in the country.
Yeah, Florida State's really freaking good. I know that there's a bunch of miserable people out there that think that Jordan Travis, and I love Jordan Travis. Don't get me wrong. Shout out to Jordan for winning the ACC Player of the Year, by the way.
Yes.
I get it. I love Jordan, and it sucks. And I would much rather be going up to Charlotte this weekend knowing we were going to win and just literally, well, I don't want to say that because some people, I know some people watch this, but like literally just party a lot and know that the game was going to have, be a win either way. But yeah, like the team is more than just Jordan Travis. Boo Corrigan said it last night when they asked him, hey, how did you factor in the injury to Jordan Travis? And, ESPN, we talk about Reese Davis, this guy, that guy, everybody else asking and basically begging for the committee to not give love to the Noles. And Boo Corrigan's response was, it's more than just one player. And that's what this team is. And at the end of the day, man, I said this last week about Florida State. How important this game was for Mike Norvell. I think it's a little bit less now. Like, I think last week was actually more important to beat Florida just because of the recruiting stuff. You were a bigger favorite on the road than you are here, obviously. I think it was a bigger deal to beat Florida. But some of my thoughts last week on beating Florida exist here too. Like, Louisville's a good team. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but what's their most impressive win is what, Notre Dame, right? And mm-hmm. you're better than them. I mean, you look at every single matchup, right? All right, they can have quarterback, right? I'm not going to sit here and jump, stand on a ledge for Tate. But you're better on the offensive line. You're better at running back. You're better at wide receiver. You're better at tight end. You're better at D-line. You're better at linebacker. You're better in the secondary. You're the better coach. You're going to have more fans in the crowd. And I don't know that Plummer's that much better than Tate. Like, I mean, he's more experienced. He's played a lot more. I'll give them quarterback. But if we lose this game when they had one position group better than us and everything else favored Florida State, Kicker's better. Mastromano's up for the Ray guy. Like, Keon's a better return. I don't care. Every single position group favors Florida State, except for quarterback. If you lose that game,
even then, I'm not impressed with Plummer.
That's
11 interceptions on the year to 21 touchdowns.
Problem for me, if you're better everywhere across the board and you lose this game, again, outside of quarterback, that to me, it's a problem. Now, it's not like, I'm going to fire Mike Norvell or I'm off the boat or nothing like that. But this is a game Florida State needs to go out and win. This is not a, oh man, hopefully we can get them, you know, like hopefully we can find a way to do this. This is a game you go out and win. And Louisville, you look at who they've played. You have to play the teams on your schedule. I get that. I'm not trying to dog them for that. But they haven't played a good schedule at all. They've been lackluster when they have played some great teams. They look terrible against NC State. If NC State had any kind of an offense, they'd have won that. I don't think they're a great team. I think they've done fine for this year. Nothing they've done has overly impressed me. They barely beat Georgia Tech to start the year. Barely beat NC State when NC State scored 10 points. Got blown out by Pitt. They got Duke after the Leonard injury the week after we played them. Barely got by Virginia. Barely got by Miami by the same score we did. Lost to Kentucky. Like, this is a team you need to beat. I don't know. There's a lot, you know, I'm not trying to put extra pressure out there. I mean, hopefully the guys aren't watching TJ on the French Fry Show, but this is a game you need to win. This is a game that Florida State should win. So, all right, we got predictions. Harlan, go ahead and pick Louisville since I just said all that.
All right, but we're waiting for Harlan. I'll just say, I've been to Vegas, TJ. It's a blast. I've only been once. It was my bachelor party in 2017. They don't build all those fancy casinos and resorts by just handing out free money. Florida State's going to struggle, but they're going to find a way to get it done and force the committee to make a decision. And Florida State wins 21-20.
Harlan's got Louisville 31-21.
Harlan doesn't count.
Harlan has Louisville winning. Yeah, and I've got the Noles winning this. I think that they find a way to get through as well. Probably score a touchdown late to make it kind of like last week. They score a touchdown late to make it a little less dramatic than it really should have been. Give me like 28-17. You know, it's 21-17. Florida State's got the ball late. They score late, go up two scores. 28-17. I think the defense shows up one more time, puts the team on their back, and the Noles are 13-0. ACC champs. If I'm wrong, clip it and play it on Sunday. So, any shout outs before we get out of here?
None off the top of my head. Just shout out the Marching Chiefs. Shout out them. I don't know if he shouted them out on Sunday. Shout out them for just ruining Tom Petty. And I believe they will be in Charlotte as well. So I'm just looking forward to being in Charlotte, seeing my sister, seeing my nieces, my nephews. It's going to be a fun weekend, minus the 16 hours in a car between Thursday and Sunday.
Yeah. Well, same. I feel that as well. Shout out the women's soccer team who is playing up in Cary about
College Cup. Yeah.
Not too far away. They play on Friday night. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Saturday's a long day, but I wish the championship was on Sunday because I would certainly try and make it on Sunday if that was, but dumb things on Monday. Shout out to the women's soccer team. They play in the College Cup, the women's final four of the national championship, the final four there for soccer. Volleyball won the ACC championship, so shout them out for sure. And again, Jordan Travis, your ACC player of the year and the offensive player of the year as well. Not really a shock there, but he was phenomenal all year. It took two games off and still won the award. So suck on that and anybody else in the conference. All right. Come see us on Saturday out at the tailgate. Again, if you need any info on that, the link is in the description. Let's go win an ACC championship this weekend, boys. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We've got more coming this week. Talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.